welcome back to Second Take Movies, a podcast where we give movies a second look, second chance, a second take, if you will. I am your host, Preston Jenkinson, and joining me, as always, it's Jake Twido.
M'lady.
Ew.
That's what this movie does, dude. It creates the M'lady boys.
M'lady. M'lady. You know?
Tip your fedora, M'lady.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, you know all those boys got jonesed off this thing.
Yeah.
I think the power is in the fedora, princess.
The fedora was, for some reason, a thing in, like, the late 2000s. Like, 07 to, like, 10.
Oh, God. Did you have one? 5 years, it's coming back. It's coming back, baby.
I hope not.
Can't wait to see all these college scrub boys wearing fedoras being dumb.
And they're not Redditors. this week it's the Adjustment Bureau, starring Matthew Damon and Emily Blunt. What'd you think?
I think I can summarize. I saw this in the theaters. Saw it with my dad. Oh wow! When we got in the car, we didn't talk. The movie ended. We didn't talk. We got in the car. My dad stopped before he turned the car on and looked at me and said, "Was that a good movie?" And I said, I don't know. That's how I feel today still.
I think it's very underrated, but
there are parts that I really, really like, but then there are parts where I'm like, why didn't you go harder into some of this stuff? There's some things I'm like, you picked weird, especially towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
This is rad. Why didn't we have more of this?
If there's anything I would fix, it's the end, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, it's based off of a Philip K. Dick book. So
it's going to be good. Like, I just go ahead and assume, hey, the story's going to be pretty daggum solid, or the theory of it.
But I think they kind of Hollywood ended it at the end. But
yeah. The
affair of a politician and a contemporary dancer is affected by mysterious forces keeping the lovers apart. That's the plot of the movie.
We should do a Scanner Darkly, by the way.
A what?
A Scanner Darkly.
A Scanner Darkly?
Yeah. It's Keanu Reeves, okay. Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh.
It's another Dick novel.
Gotcha. It's a movie?
Sorry.
I assume? But
Yeah, it is. When you see it, you'll go, oh, that movie.
Reviews?
Yeah. Hit me with a review.
Positive one from Todd McCarthy at The Hollywood Reporter. George Nofi pulls off a relative rarity in his feature film debut by creating a genuinely romantic fantasy suspense thriller.
I will tell you, man, as your first directorial debut,
you kind of knocked it out of the park, my guy.
Yeah, but then you look at his career after this and...
Well, you know, some people peak early.
There isn't one. But he did write Ocean's 12.
Well, see, you know. There's always
Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah. Oh, that's how he got Matt Damon.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo, bongo, bango.
He's like, hey, you want to help me out on my first director thing? Yeah.
Will you pay me $50 million?
Exactly.
Sure.
Probably not.
I think so. They'll leave us with 0.2.
I think the whole movie costs $50 million.
It did.
Yeah. So. David Edelstein from New York Magazine, the doughy Damon and the aristocratic Blunt don't match up physically, and they never get any Hepburn Tracy rhythms going that might create some current.
Yeah, okay.
I don't agree
Preston,
with that.
What's that guy's name again?
David Edelstein.
I'm David Edelstein, m'lady.
M'lady?
Yeah.
First of all.
That dude wears a fedora and stalks girls and saves them on his desktop. And then he tells everyone that's his girlfriend, but he's never talked to him.
He's never
His
seen
mom
her.
Thinks he has a girlfriend, but it's actually some model.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That sounds very specific.
Yeah, I'm working through some things. I got some history that I'm trying to resolve with some people.
Yeah. Starts out, Matt Damon, he's a politician. Yuck.
Yeah, his name's David.
David, I don't remember the last name, but...
Norris.
David Norris. There you go. Look at you. He is running for Congress and he's this one of the youngest people. What? He's either no, he is a congressman running for Senate.
Yeah, he's a Brooklyn congressman.
Yeah,
trying to go for Senate.
Youngest congressman running for Senate. Ends up that he does not get said win said election because he flashed people at a college reunion. Big whoop.
Mooned him or showed him the weenie.
Yeah. He mooned him. Big freaking whoop.
Yeah, who cares, dude? That's like a pride thing. You vote for people for that. If yeah. I moon somebody, I'd be the mayor of Clemson. I'm telling you. That's the daggone platform I'm running on. I'll moon you if you vote for me.
Run for mayor of Clemson. I'm going to moon everybody.
I used to yeah, okay, never mind. Let me be quiet. Let's just stop there. I do think it's hilarious that that's the thing that got him.
Yeah.
But... Right. He realizes his points aren't working out anymore, and he gets so depressed that he goes in the bathroom and starts crying.
Well, he starts doing his yeah.
Speech.
Non-victory speech, whatever you call
his,
it.
His I'm a dumb, dumb loser pants concession.
Yeah, I'm a concession speech. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And he goes in there, and first of all, that's the perfect bathroom stall, okay? It goes all the way to the floor.
Preston, I'm so happy you brought that up because I want to spend 30 minutes talking about this.
Please.
Let me tell you something. Every other idiot in the world that designs a bathroom, y'all need to kill yourselves because that's how it is. I don't want some kid able to crawl under the daggum door wall. Happened several times. I don't want some drug addict poking his head under going, you need something? I want to have a daggum room of privacy. How mm-hmm. hard is that?
Like, what is this thing in America where we build these... Is it like, because you can't get locked in there. Like, what
look,
is it?
We just want to poop and we want peace. When
I
we
want
poop.
Privacy. If somebody comes and like hits the door, it's locked. They don't need to be able to look under there and see my feet with my pants down at my ankles.
Hell yeah. I don't want to pull my pants up. I want to leave them on the floor. Sometimes I want to take my pants off when I poop.
Exactly.
I'm Jake Twito, and I'm running for president. Vote for me if you want to poop with legs free. Make toilets great again.
Exactly. Anyway, Emily yeah. Blunt what are comes we talking out of about? A stall. Emily Blunt in the yeah. men's bathroom. She comes out of a stall, and she's been in there the whole time, and she admits, like, oh, I heard your speech. And then, ooh, they get a little flirty.
I got to tell you, I didn't realize this. I looked it up last night. Emily Blunt, this is the first of three movies where she has a character that's trying to change the future. Yes. Time-wise.
Yeah.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
The next year, Looper.
She was in Looper.
Looper comes out a year after this.
Uh-huh.
Which, and then? That's where I'm like, okay, this movie.
And then Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, 3 years later.
She's good at it.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. I mean, she's great. Great. I know the accent does a lot for her, but daggum.
She's very attractive. She can be Mary Poppins, and then she can be like this huge action star in a Tom Cruise movie. She can do a musical. She can do something like this. She's very, very talented.
Yeah, that's to me that the big thing that's made. Matt Damon's great, whatever.
Matt Damon's, yeah. He's
Emily
solid.
Blunt, though, is that's the real deal.
She's got really a real good talent.
You know, hey, you know what you got to do for that, though? M'lady.
M'lady.
yeah, so she pops out. They're best friends. They kiss. She heard him speaking the whole time.
And then the guy that helps out.
I love just how genuine that entire moment is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I believe that would happen. I believe that happened. All mm-hmm. that. Fully. No questions
And they
asked.
Have great chemistry together.
Yeah. It's great.
It's awesome. And then the guy that helps out Jack Ryan in the Amazon series shows up. I don't know his name, but I just...
that was a heck of a tie-in, yeah. Emily Blunt, Jack Ryan, John Krasinski.
John Krasinski.
Boom.
I think she was married to John Krasinski at this point. They got married in 2010, 2011, somewhere in there.
Well, tickle mob. Yeah, okay.
Yep. So he tries to find her. Well, no, after that night, he goes back to do his concession speech, and then, you know, he's got these pre-made remarks or whatever, and then he kind of goes off the cuff and says, like,
yeah,
they picked out this tie for me. They scuffed these shoes up for me. This ain't real.
I'm going to tell you. I know what you're going to say, Preston. You just hold it in. It's just like my boy Dabo. You just talk. Whatever comes out, golden diapers.
I think Matt Damon thought about what he said more than Dabo. But anyway.
I don't think so. Matt Damon probably thinks the world's flat, squarehead.
Yeah. So after that, he goes to work. Like, that's the thing about these politicians. Like, they lose, and then they still get, like, a six-figure job at some company somewhere.
And that's why I'm running. But yeah,
exactly. Because apparently,
It's like a month later. What's the time jump here for my next thing?
Yeah, it's like a month later after that.
Yeah.
His friend, who's also his campaign manager, also owns a company. I don't know what it does. They never explain it.
Yeah, kind of weird.
That's weird.
I really got honed on with, like, what do they do?
What are they doing? Like, but. I guess it's just supposed to be some vague thing that the company's going to change the world or whatever.
Okay.
And so he gets on a bus to go to work one morning, and wouldn't you know it? Well, actually, before all that, the night of the election.
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah. In one of his early roles.
Freaked me out, dude. I went, holy crap, I didn't know he was doing stuff this early.
I realized how much he bulked up.
Yeah. I realize how much he shouldn't have.
He's got way more muscle now than he did back then. You got your Anthony Mackie and the guy that plays older Howard Stark in Ant-Man. I can't remember the actor's name.
Oh, it's the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, that guy.
By the way, Anthony Mackie got his start in 8 Mile.
Yeah, that was his first movie.
Up.
Yeah.
Freaked me out. Freaked me out. I went, oh my God. Holy
he went to
crap.
Juilliard.
Papa Doc.
So there's these four guys.
John Slattery is
John
who
Slattery.
You're looking for.
That's it.
By the way.
I'm thinking about.
Who's They're awesome. All, like, there's some solid actors.
Yeah, really good actors.
There's four guys. And
on a rooftop, all in fedoras.
Three of them are named Tom, Dick, and Harry, which is the slang for an anonymous person.
Yeah.
Clever.
They're on a rooftop across the street from the hotel, and they're like, let's get him back on track. And it's like, ooh, mysterious. Who are you?
You're going to spill some dang coffee at 7:05.
Yeah. So Anthony Mackie is supposed to slow him down on his first day at work, but Anthony Mackie falls asleep in the park. And Matt Damon gets on a bus, finds Emily Blunt just on the bus after a month or so. Gets her number. They have another little flirtatious conversation. Spills coffee on her. Gets the number. Gets into the office, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tells her, like, hey, tells his friend, like, hey, I met, what's her name again? And blah, blah, blah. When does he
tells, yeah, he tells his friend that at the front, on the phone. Tells his friend that on the phone.
Yeah.
Gets in the office and everything's frozen. He doesn't realize it because he's
right.
Just, you know, I just saw Emily Blunt and I'm just all like, blah, blah,
I'm
blah.
Having the
I got
best
stuff.
Day ever.
I can't see everything. That scene was dope.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I was like, man, I'm into this now.
Yeah. It's.
I wanted more of that.
Everybody's frozen. It's like a scene out of Westworld. Everybody's frozen.
Yeah.
They're like being prodded with and, he ends up getting snatched by these dudes, and they take him to a warehouse, and they're like, hey, look, you saw something you wasn't supposed to see, all right? Now, you wasn't supposed to be with Elise, which is the character's name.
We have a plan. We have a chairman.
Yeah, there's
Shut
a chairman.
Up, boy.
We've been called different things. You know, we just navigate. We're storytellers, and we tell you, put you on the path to where you're supposed to go, and you're never supposed to meet Elise. And they say, if you reveal us, we'll reset you. You'll go crazy. And then they'll put you away. So, best behavior. goes back to the office and is kind of freaked out by all this. But he never stops looking for Elise because 3 years later, he gets on that bus again, and he sees her walking down the street. And he's like, oh, my gosh, stop. And he gets off the bus. And he's like, I've been riding that bus every day for 3 years just to see you again. And then he finds her.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where. I think she goes to lunch. They go to lunch, right?
Yeah. He sees her and they go to like brunch, I guess, because it was like in the morning time. And he's announcing, he's running for Senate again. They're announcing that afternoon.
Yeah. And she's got a ballet coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but before all that, I skipped over a big scene. He's at a bar shortly after he loses the number, and he's sitting there trying to write it down to remember it. And then Anthony Mackie walks in and kind of explains it to him again. He's like, even if you remember the number, they'll lock it out. They'll block it. They'll leave it off the hook. You won't get through. And he's like, you meet me at the number four pier and number four boat, and I'll tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah. So, and that's where we get
exposition
with
done.
Water around. Uh-huh. The Adjustment Bureau can't figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And we figure out that Mackie's character is a decent guy, actually.
Yeah.
Possibly.
He's either been at the job for a while or not that long.
Yeah.
Compared to how long they live. They've been called angels. They've been called several different things through the years. I think the original script was like, they left humanity with free will after they got them out of like the Stone Age, and that's what brought about the Roman Empire and people conquering each other and
Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Not Stone Age. Yeah.
Or that was in the movie. I can't remember.
It's in the movie. It's way later. I can't remember who explains it to him, but they tell David, I think Richardson tells him all this crap.
And so we get it. That's our exposition dump of like, you can look for her, but they'll make it so difficult for you, they'll never find you. Three years later.
I think that's where now we're at here. They're together and they kind of explain, hey, if you guys cross paths, you won't go on to do what you need to do. She won't dance.
Yeah.
Bad things are going to happen.
They start, once they meet again, they start dating. No, because
they start hanging out some, and that's when Thompson, the other old guy from the bureau, shows up and really gets them of like, you can't escape me. Let me explain to you about free will. Let me explain to you about all this stuff, what's going to happen. Yeah. And that's when the whole Dark Ages thing of like, hey, we let you guys do this stuff then. And the first half of the 20th century was a crapshoot. We fixed it. We're done. You're going to be president. She's going to dance and be a choreographer. And then to prove that he's legitimately meaning it all, she sprained her ankle. I don't remember how she does it. I just know she sprains her ankle and goes to the hospital.
That guy like does one of those little things in it that he makes her fall and sprain. He just like kind of like a warning, like, hey,
yeah,
boom. And then she sprains her ankle. And he's like, if you continue to see her, she will do irreparable damage to her leg and teach dance to 6-year-olds.
Which, hilariously, David just leaves the hospital, says, I got to make a call.
Yeah, like, you can leave her in a different way, my guy.
Holy crap,
just
dude.
Go back and break. You left her at, you took her to the hospital to get her leg fixed. You can get her, like, take her home, like, and then break up with her. You don't have to just leave her there.
Yeah.
That's a shitty thing to do.
Yeah, they make him the worst person in the world in this movie.
Yeah.
They do it very well.
It's actually, like, for some reason, it's like she still wants to be with him after all that, but...
Yeah, well, 11 months pass now.
Mm-hmm.
He's continued his life. He's doing a speech, and Lord knows where, countryside. Charlie is his partner, his campaign manager, and he says, hey, Elisa's getting married. Here's the article. So he's got some time off because he's up by 15 points, which he was before everyone saw his butt. So Harry manages to square to meet with David, knowing what he's going to do. It's raining, so they can just talk. So that's when we find out that David is Harry's, I wrote, caseworker. He's assigned to watch after him. He's assigned to watch after Matt Damon. That's his deal.
And from the conversation that they had, it seems like he was assigned to watch that entire family.
Yeah.
Because he mentions his dad a lot.
I thought it was going to be like his dad started the Bureau or something.
I feel like that would have been a great ending.
Yeah. Yeah, but no. We watched your dad, too. That's all.
Yeah. It's like, why would you mention the dad? And then, but.
But, you also get Harry at this point is very guilty.
Yeah, he feels guilty.
Of, all the negative things. I think he sees David hurt. I don't know. You get that tonal shift, I guess. I mean, you've seen it from Anthony Mackie's character the whole time of he's not like everybody else.
Yeah.
But.
So this is like, this leads into like one of the, in my opinion, one of the coolest parts of this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It saves the movie to me. The movie's okay. This makes it like, ooh, this was fascinating.
And it's not a very long movie.
No, it was not. 106 minutes.
Yeah.
Not like the daggum Hunger Games movie tomorrow night I'm going to watch.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours.
2 hours and 45 minutes. I think he should have split that movie up in two, if you know what I'm saying.
No.
No.
If it's one book, don't do The Hobbit. If it's one book, one movie.
The Hobbit.
Let's split one movie, one book into three movies. Let's just squeeze.
We're going to introduce a lot of new characters as well.
Yeah, that weren't even in the books.
Yeah. Someone needs a penis punch on that one.
Legolas wasn't even in the book. Anyway, that's a different series of movies that we will never watch. Maybe if we run out of stuff, but
I was about to say never say never, but I don't want to do it. Yeah. Also, Pedro Pascal's in this movie.
Where?
I'll send you a thing of his character here. It's brief. He's like a background guy. It's one of the guys.
Is he one of the Bureau men?
Yes. This is just a Google search of his character's name. But yeah, he's 100% in this movie.
Is he one of these guys?
Third image.
Is he one of these guys in the thing?
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of these guys.
I'm guessing he's the one that's blocked out.
I think so.
Because he's not part of the main four that you see on the rooftop. Okay.
Pedro Pascal, build, 100%.
Cool. Good for him.
There's your loser fact of the day for me. you're welcome.
So, Harry and David strategize how to get through all these doors to the courthouse that she's getting married at to stop the wedding.
So, let me ask you. Let me make sure I'm tracking this right, though. So, every door has another door.
It feels like they don't explain it, but it feels like you can.
He has to get to that blue door to go somewhere.
You think of where you want to go, kind of, and then you turn the door and then you're there.
I don't think that's it. That's what I thought it was, but I think it's. Every door has a connection.
A connection to a certain place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's why he's like, you could do this. That's the quickest way to go to the blue door.
That's why they. That's why I have to figure out a route to get to by going through all those doors. Okay, that makes sense.
God dang, man. I'm like, dude, that is so fascinating.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I wanted so much more of that.
Yeah, and it's the most entertaining part because it's Matt Damon in a fedora running in the rain through the city of of doors.
And every, again, just to repeat it again, every lady he walks by, he stops and he says, "M'lady.
M'lady. No one.
Would you like to see my figurine collection?"
No, I have Mech Gundams.
Huh? What? 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't worry about those over there. You can't. Eh. I don't. Oh.
You're married.
Therapy, baby. It's cheaper than therapy.
That's right. So he makes it to the courthouse, of course.
In the daggum bathroom.
And then he ends up in the ladies' room. And then he's like, "Oh, I love you, blah, blah, blah." She's like, "I don't believe you. You left me." Is she trying? Did she start out with an American accent and this then just went British?
Yes, that is what I believe happened. I think she kind of gave up. But my notes are like, Emily Blunt does this sometimes.
Because it feels like in that first scene, she was doing an American accent somewhat.
Yeah.
And I think she just gave up on it during this movie, which she can do an American accent.
Yeah, but you know what? You're British.
Just be British.
Just do that accent. It's way better.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear American.
You're a British person that came to New York to be a dancer.
That's where I'm like, Michael Fassbender. Just be that way, man.
Yeah.
Have
you seen The Killer on Netflix, by the way?
No, I want to watch it.
Ooh, it's so good.
I haven't had time, but I know it's going to be good.
It is really
good. I just know. I look at it and I'm like, yep, she's like going to be real fine.
Very meticulous hitman, and it's really good. But anyway.
That's good, because you know what? That guy deserves to have so many better roles.
He does.
He's done.
He does.
He is a phenomenal actor.
He's got two coming up. He's had this one, and then there's that Taika Waititi movie that he did. Next Goal Win.
Yeah. Waititi.
Waititi. So they take off from the bathroom with the fedora on, and they start running through New York, and they end up in Yankee Stadium, which I'm sure Matt Damon loved as a Red Sox fan.
Yeah. Yeah, he pooped his pants out of anger.
Like, Ben Affleck...
How about them apples, Matt Damon?
Ben Affleck didn't want to wear a Yankees hat in Gone Girl.
That's a dope movie, dude.
He refused to wear a Yankees hat.
I wouldn't wear a Gamecock hat.
There you go.
Because... I can't think of anything clever. I don't know. Yeah. It's not my color. How about that? That whole scene, dude. Ah, God, I loved it. It was done flawless.
Like the way they shot it. The way they shot it was awesome. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, you really believed it. I was blown away.
Kudos to
this. I remember seeing it in the theaters, and I was like, yeah, it was that good then, too. Like, this is holding up really well.
Yeah. Like, the transition from one place to another was seamless, seemed like. But they eventually get, they decide to, like, you know what, instead of all this running, we'll go directly to the source.
Turns out. We're going to turn left instead of right on the handle.
Turns out, like every other bureaucracy, there was an original plan that had the two of them ending up together, but someone changed it, and they never, you know, just like you're, like some kind of program that you created, you never got rid of that one thing. That one little line of code that's messing up everything else and making it do what it's not supposed to. And no one caught it. And it still made it through. It's like, no, I shouldn't tell this story about work. Yeah.
I know. I was about to say something and I went, you know what? I think I'm good.
Yeah. I don't want to give
I'm
any.
Good. Let me not.
I don't want to give any clues about where I work. So they.
I work for the United States government. I don't, but yeah.
They end up going into to the bureau, and they try to get to the chairman, but they end up on the roof, and they're about to be reset, and they're like, if this is forever, then I'm glad about, you know, just the cheesy, like.
And then, ring! Hey, you won! You did it! Yeah! Yeah!
And there was a scene that was cut of the chairman. It was going to be played by a woman. And I can't remember the actress's name, but she's that.
I wonder why I got cut, Preston.
She's that Indian woman with the real deep voice, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know the actress I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She was in Matter of fact, speaking of Hunger Games, she was in part one. She was the consultant to President Snow when he's, you know, fall asleep on the desk and she comes in to wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
That actress was going to be the chairman.
This is who I'm thinking. She wasn't in Hunger Games, though. She was in Renfield.
That's her. That's the same woman.
It's Sore Agdushlo.
Yeah, she was going to be the chairman.
Yeah. I can believe that. She's a good actress.
Yeah. And she was in The Expanse. Look at that. Iranian. She's Iranian. Okay. I wasn't 100% off. So, but yeah, they, you know, and then Anthony Mackie comes up on the roof and says there's been a change of plans and they can fall in love and go on from here and do what they want.
Yeah, I don't happy like the to ending. Be happy. Yeah. Kill them all.
It was all good up until that point. That's the one negative I've got of this movie is the end. It's,
yeah, the chairman just said, got a new plan, it's okay.
Yeah, I would
blank going forward.
I would have preferred
that's the whole thing.
Them like making it to the chairman's office and then having to make a
kill
case,
them.
So to speak.
Yeah.
But I give it a
and
seven.
That's it.
Yeah, I give it a 7.5.
I go 6.4.
Yeah.
And it's only 6.4 for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the movie's okay.
But it's that last bit that really makes up
yeah.
a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a short movie.
Yeah, I'd recommend it just because it's short. And
it's a quick watch.
The acting's great. Like,
yeah. Everybody does a real good job of acting.
Yeah.
Shot very well. All that fun stuff. Short episode this week.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. I couldn't believe the movie ended. I went, wait, we got to have like 30 more minutes left.
Right.
No, it just ended. Yeah. 6.4. I stand by that. Yeah. Almost took it down more, but.
So now we move on to what we watching, what we reading, what we playing.
Oh, Loki is the bomb.
It's the greatest.
That ended last week, right?
Yeah. I did not expect that ending.
No, I didn't, and I was blown away of how good it was.
It was really good.
And I think I said it. I did say this last week, but I reinforce it. Loki makes all the other shows look awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of them are terrible. Stupid. Like, that's the only good one.
That and WandaVision, I would say. But
I did like WandaVision. I forget about that.
WandaVision kind of falls apart in the end, but
yep.
Other than that, it's a really good show. I enjoyed parts of Moon Knight. But
you know what? Actually, I really enjoyed Moon Knight.
Just because I like Moon Knight. But
yeah, and it was like, oh, I can't believe I'm seeing Moon Knight. This is wild.
Exactly.
And Oscar Isaac is phenomenal.
Yes.
So, everything else, I don't know, man. Like, I haven't been watched a ton. I've got a lot coming up. Hunger Games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Saw they dropped the What If coming
out
in December.
Trailer came
9 out. Days straight.
Madam Web came out.
Madam,
trailer came out.
I don't know. It's an exciting time with the actors strike over. Which,
yeah,
Preston, what were they striking over?
They wanted
to be as important as the writers. All of a sudden,
no, they they didn't want to get scanned and used as background actors in other stuff. They got more time for self-tape auditions. They got basically the big thing was AI. They wanted to not have it. another thing was they got bonuses on residuals. That was the other thing, was streaming. So we're getting everybody's getting residuals on streaming. They got a higher contribution to their 401ks, I think.
Hold on 1 second. I just got an email. Let me read this really quick.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's Netflix. My monthly fee went up.
Yep.
Oh, shoot. There's another one from Disney.
Yeah.
No, there's one from Hulu and HBO. What is happening?
Those all went up before the
yeah.
Actor strike thing. But that's all. I'll send you a video of something I watched the other day. I feel like that's all going to implode someday.
Yeah, send that sucker.
It's, yeah, anyway. I've been reading the Silo books.
Yeah, is it still pretty dang good?
Yeah, turns out the first season of the show only goes through the first half of the first book.
Yep. Yep, that is what I had heard.
I'm like, whoa, there's way... I was like, oh, wow, she already went out the door? Okay, how much is left of this book? Like 10, 20 more chapters? Oh, okay.
All right, so you saying that, though, has made me be like, I'm going to read the book then.
Yeah.
Because if I have to read the book and it's just that season, that's okay, but... Mm-hmm.
So that surprised me. So I'm enjoying that. I'm rewatching Silo. To get like a visual of the characters that I hear in the book. That kind of helps me. Because I listen to books. I listen to audiobooks.
I can't do that, man. I wish I could. I
can't sit and read. Like, I'll get lost. And like, did I read that right? Wait, what did they say? Like, but if I hear someone tell me a story, I can comprehend it and digest it way better. So, what else? What else? Ooh, I'm going to get a PS5 Friday and play Spider-Man 2 all weekend.
Heck yeah. That's going to be a solid weekend then, bud. Dude, let me tell you.
Because my Christmas bonus came in.
Yeah, I need to know about that. I need to...
I've already watched the entire story campaign on YouTube, so
that's what I've done. The same, like, yeah,
I know. Like, oh, I want to play that now.
It looks so fun.
Yeah, it looks great. So that's
I think I'm gonna pick up the Star Wars games, the most recent ones,
Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, my coworker is playing it. He just beat the first one. Got the second one. I know you talked about it too last year. But I've got so many games I've got right now. I finished Mario. That's the other thing I'm doing. I've been playing Mario left and right. Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. It's great. It is so hard at parts. But yeah.
All right. Well, if you have a suggestion for a movie we should do, you can send that to SegaTechMoviesPod@gmail.com. You can leave comments in the comment section of this video that you see.
What do we got coming up, Preston? We're off next week, right?
We are off next week.
But then we're going to start Star Wars hard the next, correct?
No, we got one more movie, then we'll start Star Wars.
Okay.
We don't know what that movie is yet.
Oh, I can't wait for Star Wars.
Yeah, we got the 100th episode coming up.
Yeah.
So 98, 99, and 100 will be the sequel trilogy of Star Wars.
And we got a special guest. George Lucas is going to watch them with us.
I wish.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
That'd be dope.
You ever watched... Okay, I'm going off. So I know we're closing out here. But you ever watched him talk about Princess Leia?
Yeah, he was horny.
And dude, I had never heard that. And I played it the other day and went, ooh.
Yeah.
M'lady.
M'lady.
George, why don't I have a bra on? People don't wear bras in space. That was his comment.
Why do I have a white sheet on and no bra?
Poor lady.
Anyway.
Hey, you know what, Preston? More importantly, just go ahead and sign me up to Crap Your Pants.
Crap Your Pants. All right. And you can follow us on Instagram as well. And leave comments in the comment section, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And we will see you next time.